Hey, this is Alec.
Hey, this is Samir.
And this is Beyond the Beats, a podcast about EDM news and culture. Let's get it. What's going on, listeners of Beyond the Beats? This is a podcast about EDM news and culture. If you're new, thank you for joining us. I'm going to kick it off this week with my On Repeat. This is a track I've been blasting non-stop as I took a beautiful coastal drive down to Santa Barbara. Welcome to the sound of Aluna George, and this is her track, Superior Emotion. Battle with my instincts. Evolution giving me the skills that I don't need. That I think I need. I feel like a wild woman, living in a violent state, ain't my environment. And I just need a quiet mind, and I'm cool for a while, and I'm cool for a while. Then I'm looking for that high, yeah, I'm looking for.
My man, kicking it off with some more, with some feelsy shit over here. First of all, Alec, I absolutely love this song. I love the EP that this is from, and I just love Aluna George. Her music is amazing. Her voice is amazing. This song is incredibly haunting, but incredibly catchy. What a fantastic selection, man. I mean,
I know you just
celebrated, you know, your girlfriend's birthday. I mean, this is such a fitting soundtrack to the road trip that you guys just took for a nice birthday weekend. I really love this song a lot, man. Great choice. I feel like we don't talk about Aluna George as much as we should on this pod.
No, I mean, you know, she hasn't done too much recently. I think she had one track release, another one in 2019, but she hasn't been doing too much. But I tell you what, man, I mean, I absolutely love this EP, which I believe is called Champagne Eyes. I think it's the name of the EP.
Yes, I think you got it, my friend.
And you know, there's another great track on there. I'll put this in the show notes. Famous is great. I mean, the whole I'll just put the whole EP. It's just, you know, great.
Yeah, you should.
Track, you know, and I figured, you know, since we it's kind of, would you say this is indie electronic?
Yes, I would definitely say this is indie electronic. And I mean, Aluna George's voice is just, I'm sorry, actually Aluna George is two people. I keep saying Aluna George like it's one person. Aluna George is two people.
That's
Aluna
right.
is the singer, and George is actually the producer of the duo. And they both do such a great job, but Aluna's voice is just absolutely mesmerizing. I love it.
She really is. I mean, she's just got a fantastic voice. And for those of you that, you know, might be like, this is a you know, the name Aluna George is ringing a bell. Well, DJ Snake has done a couple songs with her.
Yes, sir.
I keep saying her. you know, done a few songs with them, and they're just really an awesome duo there. I really want to see them live. This is somebody that's on my bucket list to go see.
You know, I'm not usually one to go for concerts that are like outside the EDM realm, but Aluna George, those two are somebody that I would love to see. You know, you mentioned that DJ Snake did a song with them. Everybody knows that song. You know you like it. Fantastic track. Chami did an absolutely killer future-based remix of that track as well. I mean, Aluna George, they can do no wrong. And I feel like everybody that touches their tracks as well just does a fantastic job.
Future-based? You mean Future House?
Oh man, I'm so sorry. Yes, Future House.
It's
late over here.
Honestly,
New York.
If Chami did a future-based song, that would be great.
That would be
Come on, Chami. He's got to do it.
Yeah. All right, man. Dude, let's jump into it, man. We have a fantastic show. I'm really excited to kick this off. We got episode 46 coming down into your ear canals via Bluetooth, via wired headphones, through your speakers, in your car. I don't care. Welcome to episode 46 here of Beyond the Beats. We love you guys, our EDM champions. We're going to be talking about some new music from the artists that we're watching. Tyler Lawrence with a killer remix. We got Alan Mock. We got Mercy up in here. And then, of course, we got some new music, man. We're talking about Nightmare and Slander. We're talking about Wild Styles and TNT. That's right. We're talking about some hard style for you guys. Jack Back and many, many more. Then, of course, diving into the news and culture. All right, check this out. We're talking about Green Day. What? Why are we talking about Green Day on an EDM podcast? Well, you're about to find out, okay? Then we're talking about What's So Not and Made Events teaming up with ID&T. We got that coming down. Then we're talking about a very, very important anti-plur moment. Okay, I'm not going to give it away, but I'm heated up over here. I texted Alec over the week, and I'm like, fucking pissed. Ah, okay, moving on. Then, of course, we got the What Are We Listening To section, and, of course, capping off this podcast with our favorite part, the artists that we're watching. Alec and I have two fantastic picks for you guys that you need to go and follow on SoundCloud. Back to the top. Alec, where are we starting?
We are starting off with our new music from the artist we're watching, and I think it's a very fitting way to kick it off with our Tyler Lawrence. Shout out to man. He did this absolutely stellar and killer remix of the Chainsmokers and Lennium's collaboration on Takeaway. Man, the takeaway for me from this one is just what a great vibe of a song. You see what I did there?
Yeah, I love that, dude. You've been planning that one. We did not rehearse that. You've been planning that one.
No, that was all in the moment, man. I didn't plan that at all.
Love it. I cannot agree with you more, man. This is one of those remixes that just makes you feel good, man. And I don't really like this original. It's catchy.
I agree.
Yeah, not going to disagree with that, but I'm just not a big fan of the original. But this remix just gives it a nice, fresh, light, and airy spin. But you know what? Before we proceed, let's play it for our EDM champions. Guys, take a listen. This is Tyler Lawrence's remix of the song Takeaway by the Chainsmokers and Illenium.
Absolute vibe. What a great remix. And I agree. I hands down 1000% agree with you, man. Tyler Lawrence's remix here is better than the original, in my opinion.
Yeah, bro. I'm 100% agreement with you on that one, dude.
This was just, shout out to you, man. Tyler Lawrence, he's just been
Love that guy,
I know,
dude.
I love him, man.
He's
great
so
dude.
Good. He's so talented.
Great dude.
I love him.
Oh, great guy. Great guy. We'll catch up with him a little bit more later. But moving onwards, we've got Alan Mock with the song Tech Tonic. Dude, this was a Fucks With It premiere.
Yeah.
Well done.
Dude.
Over to Fucks With It. They're getting some... I tell you, they
what
always
up,
have
Colin.
Fantastic people, but, you know, the fact they're picking out more of Alan Mock, man, that's just... He is just crushing it right now. What do you think of the song?
Brother, let me tell you something, man. I threw on this track, and the whole world started shaking. I'm like, what is going on over here? Then I realized it was tectonic plate movement, dude. I had to pause this track. I was getting scared I was going to fall through the tectonic plates. And then I resumed it. I resumed it because this track is a banger. It is an absolute banger. This thing is going to hit you in the face with the bass, okay? And let me tell you something. Wow, I didn't even plan that. That just came out.
See,
naturally.
I know. We're on a roll today.
Thank you, dude. But let me just tell you something. When this hits, when this drops, you got one part of the drop, which is just right in your face. But then the second part of the first drop is amazing. The breaks in this track, everything about this track is really intense. And that's what you're going to get from Alan Mock. Non-stop quality from this guy. He is growing. And I love to see it from when we featured him in 2019. But before we get Alec's thoughts, let me just show you guys what I'm talking about here, all right? Hold on to your chairs. This is Alan Mock's track, Tectonic.
Thank you. this song is almost simulating an earthquake there. It's just some rumbling bass in there. You know, I looked around, I thought there was another earthquake going on. I know we're overdue for one out here in the West Coast. So I was wondering, I was like, shit, is this it? I didn't get an alert. The alert system didn't work. Fucking hell, come on. But no, instead it was Alan Mock. And I tell you what, man, this is just, he's just absolutely crushing it before, as I was saying at the top. It's somebody who is really taking a very interesting look at the trap scene, right? And just, you know, and also incorporating some future in there and just really saying, we're going to do something a bit different here. And I'll tell you, this is the Tectonic. He's starting to incorporate his own sound, and I think he's really starting to hone in on what could be his signature sound. And Tectonic is just a great example of that.
Alan Mock is somebody I would love to see live. No lie. He would bring the freaking energy. So, Alan Mock, I want to see you out here in New York, and I know Alec wants to see you out there in SF. And we know you'll get there one day, brother. Good job with this track. Dude, what's the next track we got here?
We've got Mercy 365. Lord have mercy on me, man. This was just this was another one. We've got some heat packing from us watching this week. Tell you what, man. What do you think about this? Because I was about this. I was really about this.
Yeah, me too, brother. We only pick heat out
That's
here.
That's true.
On Beyond the Beats, man. Quality artist, as usual. Mercy is, he does not stray from what we love, man. First of all, you know, I don't know what song this was sampling, what rap song this was sampling, but I liked it a lot.
Not saying something.
Yeah, exactly. It was infectious, it was fun to listen to, and it was like G-House, but it was more cross with bass house in it. Whatever it is, it's extremely, extremely danceable. And you know what, guys? Lace up those shoes, get ready to shuffle. We got Mercy's track right here on Beyond the Beats. It's called 365. Take a listen.
Some solid G-House mixed with some bass out there, man. That is some solid stuff. Congrats. Hats off to you, man. Mercy, you just keep on killing it. Tell you, what a great way to round off the new music from artists we're watching. It's awesome to see how everybody that we're keeping tabs on is just crushing it right now, man. I mean,
hell
no lie.
Yeah,
they
dude.
Absolutely are. And, you know, genuinely, we mean it. I mean, we're not going to, you know, we don't play favorites here. We're going to be honest about it. And just, yeah. It's awesome to see them crush it.
Totally, man. Totally. All right, brother. We just talked about the new music from the artists that we're watching. Let's head over to the new music. Where are we starting off? I'm excited to talk about this, but tell us what we're talking about first, dude.
We are going to talk about Jack Back. Jack Back's back, baby.
Who is Jack Back again, Alec?
Who is this? Yeah, I don't know. I believe it's this French dude. Oh, that's right. It's David Guetta. A lot of people get on him, right? They say he's gone real mainstream, real poppy. Well, this is his alter ego, as it were, right? This is getting back to the beats of his house music days in the good old days there. So if you're criticizing David Guetta for being too mainstream, just realize that you've got Jack Back for you. Right, so he teamed up with Tom Starr. That's Starr with two A's.
Great collaboration.
Great collaboration here, man. This is the track Body Beat. I'll tell you, I really enjoyed this track, man. And I think all of his releases actually for Jack Back, but I really like the addition of Tom Starr in here. I think it really worked.
Completely agreed, brother. This actually, I think, like, of this Jack Back project that David Guetta has taken on, this is probably my favorite track from it, man.
Really?
Body Beat. Yeah, there's something about the percussion in there that makes me feel like I'm on an island, or I'm on a beach party, or I'm at Ultra Miami. At Ultra Miami, right? You know what I mean? Like a little tech house party. Peep this. It was dropped on Tool Room Records, so Mark Knight's label. You know I love Tool Room, love to see it. So really, man, this track is incredibly fitting. Great tech house with a little bit of a tropical vibe to it. You know, EDM champions, if that's your groove, if that's what you like, you will love this track by Jack Back, a.k.a. David Guetta and Tom Starr for the song Body Beat.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's just got a great vibe to it. If you really enjoy that type of... There's this new wave of kind of tech house. I don't want to say it's tropical sounding, but
it is. It's not tropical house.
Exactly. That's kind of the pitfall I want to fall into there. It's not tropical house. It's kind of this tropical take on tech house. Yeah. Just, you know, go to the show notes, check it out if you don't, you know, if you can't really understand what we're saying here, and you'll see what we're talking about. Okay, moving onwards. We've got Galantis. We haven't heard from them in a while. Galantis came out with this album called Church. Samir, what are your thoughts?
Alec, I'm actually going to want to toss this one over to you.
Tossing it right back.
Yeah,
okay.
That's right. Doing a little ping pong, all right? Alec, what do you think?
I'll take the ball on this one then, man. Yeah. You know, I was okay about this. I wasn't particularly impressed. It's not that I disliked it. This is another one where I'm kind of just like, meh, on it. You know, I thought it was good. There was a couple, you know, couple good highlights in there. It just gets a bit too samey for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And you know what? I'll have to let you know how their live show is that's going to accompany this this album, Church, because I'm actually seeing them on Friday, on Valentine's Day.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Please
so
let me know.
This is in a celebration of their new Church tour. So anyways, it's a 14-track album. Some of these tracks we've already heard from them. So like Faith, for instance, was one that was released as a single. I believe Bones, featuring One Republic, was another one of those. I think Miracle with Bali Bandits was another one. So Alec, I'm actually right there with you, dude. I'm kind of half and half on this album. I'm not like totally all for it, but there are definitely some tracks on this album that I would love to take a listen to again. Steel, I actually thought was a fantastic opening track. Faith, the song with Mr. Probs and Dolly Parton, the track that we talked about before on the show, has grown on me quite a lot. Unless It Hurts, I could have done without. You know, like the motif of the song is like, it ain't love unless it hurts. Well, that's a toxic relationship, so stay away from that.
So
shit,
you don't like the message. You disagree with the message.
Yeah, I don't like the message. I don't like the message. And then Hurricane with John Newman was not a track that I was into. I did not enjoy that one at all.
Do you like John Newman in general? Because I thought that was all right. I didn't think it was great, but that was a track where I was like, okay, I was a little bit more into that one. Probably just because I like John Newman. That might be why.
I like John Newman a lot too. I think he's a great singer. I just did not like him on this track. But I thought Miracle with Bali Bandits was awesome. We Can Get High with Yellow Claw. Bones featuring One Republic was not for me. And the song that I think I probably disliked the most was Fuck Tomorrow Now. It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I agree. That's...
Yeah, so
not sure.
It's a 14-track album. I think there's going to be a little bit of something for everybody on this album, but the whole album, I feel like it really didn't have much of a direction. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't really have a flow to it. And I think maybe that's why I found just some of these tracks to be kind of a little bit, you know, out of place. However, it's a 14-track album. So this is something that you guys should definitely take a listen to, because you might end up liking some of the tracks on here. Not every track on an album is always going to be a winner. In fact, it's very hard to achieve that. And Galantis is showing that they really like lyrics, and they really like fitting lyrics into a lot of their tracks. I would actually say probably 13 out of 14 of these tracks have lyrics. And when I was taking a listen to this album, I had to kind of suspend my dislike for lyrics and really just focus on what the direction of this album was. So if you like Galantis, you know, I think you're going to like this album, or at least some of the songs on this album, but this is not going to be a home run for people who enjoy tracks like Runaway or, you know, No Money or that song Kanye.
Yeah, that's right. No, that's a very good point, man. I'm glad you raised that, because I was thinking the exact same thing. This is just not an album. I think people are not going to be entirely accustomed to the sound, and it'll be interesting. I mean, please let us know how the show goes on, right?
I'll 100% talk about it, brother.
Yeah, good. Please do. All right, moving onwards. This was a very, very interesting collaboration here by people who are really good friends in real life. I mean, this is Nightmare and Slander teaming up for a track called Feeling Good. Of course, good being spelt G-U-D, as they usually do. Yeah, I mean, it's always they put the little twist on it, right?
Yeah.
What do you think about this?
I liked it a lot.
I liked it too. Good.
I think it really fits nicely with their Good Vibrations brand. So I thought this was really, really great. It's really just fun to hear them take songs that everybody knows and give them like a nice EDM flair, chop it up, repackage it, you know, give it a little spit shine, and then put their Nightmare Slander kind of signature logo on it. I thought this was a really fun song to listen to. And if you liked Good Vibrations, you're going to like this track too.
No, I agree. It's a groovy one. So just got to put that out there. It's not what people may expect from someone like Slander, or the duo from Slander. They would expect probably something more dubby, more, you know, hard, for lack of a better term. But this is something that's just a lot more groovy. And I feel like Nightmare's been kind of leaning that way of
late, he has. Right?
You know,
he
he's been leaning a bit more to the, you know, adding some more instruments in there, being a little bit more instrumental in his sound. You know, so it's really nice to see that they teamed up for this one. And I like it, man. I could totally see that, you know, this probably is going to be some type of song, maybe with some type of edit that will be their new opening intro for their Good Vibrations show. I could definitely see that.
And the original song that they sampled is actually the Nina Simone version of the song Feeling Good, not the Michael Bublé one.
There you go.
Just want to make sure we give credit to where credit is due. Alec, I know you're a big fan of this next artist that we're going to be talking about, so I want you to kick this one off. Where are we going?
Well, I'm a fan of actually both of these guys. We're talking about Alok and Jord teaming up with DJ MP4. That's a great name.
Right, I call DJ AIFF, okay? That's going to be mine.
Or DJ Wave.
Nobody's allowed to take it.
WAV Wave. There we go. Or DJ AIFF. I like that. But they teamed up, all three of them, the trifecta for The Book Is On The Table. Really funny lyrics in this one. I mean, this is some Brazilian house in there.
Yeah.
But they incorporated some rather humorous lyrics in there. Man, I enjoyed this. I thought this was a very nice Brazilian-based, Brazilian house release from them.
This is a great party starter, dude.
It's a good vibe starter. You're so right.
Totally.
No, absolutely.
Dude, I think we're going to be getting a lot of this kind of music now that we're kind of approaching, you know, springtime and summertime. Like, I know it's February. I get it. It's cold out here in the U.S. and a lot of parts of the country and, you know, around the world. But I have a feeling that we're going to be getting a lot more music like this just in time for the kickoff of festival season with Ultra. You know, Ultra is only 6 weeks away. So I think we're trying to get as much music out there that fits, like, festival season vibes.
See, this is the type of vibe that helps me, because it's funny. I actually, people might notice from my voice, I'm feeling a little bit under the weather, a little bit sick.
Alex.
So this is the type of song that's just going to raise the spirits, as it will. So please hope
love
that.
It.
Yeah, exactly. Love this, man. All right, moving on. We've got the last track we'll talk about this week from our new music section. And we're going harder here with some hard style. Sumit, thank you so much for putting this on our show notes.
Bong, 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 bong.
Exactly.
Bong,
bong, bong, it's a very underrepresented subgenre of electronic music here, you know, and I'm sure, you know, I don't think it's really not everyone's cup of tea, but we're going to talk about it nonetheless, because, you know, we're inclusive here. It's Wild Styles and TNT teaming up with a track called Exist. I know some hard style, what do they call them, bass heads? What are they called? What's the name of them?
I don't know, dude.
Hard stylists,
I gotta explore that subculture a little bit
maybe.
More.
Maybe. Yeah, I need to explore that a little bit more too. But regardless, the people who love the bass and they love hardstyle type of bass, they're going to love this track. It was a hard-hitting one for sure. What do you think of it, man?
Dude, you know what I loved about this song is, it's pretty hard-hitting, but also at the same time, it's still, I don't know, there's something about this track where I felt like it's easily accessible and like easy to listen to for somebody like myself who's not the biggest hardstyle head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this is a track that I would be very happy to download and try to fit it into a set to just kind of pump up the energy for a quick moment in a set. I don't know, man. I really, really liked it a lot. I thought it was, like, fun to listen to. I can see why people enjoy this kind of music, man. Just getting everybody excited and moving. And, you know, hardstyle as a genre is based all around love and inclusivity. And I think that's, you get that from this song, and you also get that from a lot of songs in this genre. So I thought this song, Wild Styles, TNT teaming up for Exist, was a great track, and I'm about this one, man.
Yeah, I'm about it too, to an extent. I mean, look, I'll be perfectly honest, I'm not the biggest hardstyle fan. I'm not.
Right.
And perhaps I need to see, you know, one of the producers / DJs live to change my mind potentially about that. But, you know, I could appreciate it from sure, just probably from a bit more of a distance, you know.
Right,
look, at the end of the day, I do like it when some DJs throw in some hardstyle. I mean, you've got people like Kaiser, right, hardstyle to the US. Kid is now thrown in Hardwell too, even, right? I mean, and Kid as well, right? So there's definitely a time and a place for it. So I can see totally what you mean, and I agree with you, man. I think if you're new to hardstyle, this is probably a good entry point, a good gate to that subgenre. So please check that out if you're interested. As I said before, this will be all in the show notes. My man, We've got the news and culture section next up, and this is an interesting one. Thank you again for putting this on the show notes. Mixmag with some solid reporting yet again. Shout out to them. Green Day, they're taking aim at trap beats, quote unquote, on cocaine emblazoned billboard. And I love the subheading here. Okay, boomers.
I know. There's a lot going on in this title here. There's a lot to unpack.
Now, to be clear, it's not actual cocaine on it, so it's not like they went and sprinkled it on. There's an image of it there. It's very interesting. It's rather confusing to me, to be perfectly honest.
So, I agree.
This is what just envision this, okay? This is what the billboard says. It says, no features, no Swedish songwriters, no trap beats, 100% pure uncut rock. And below it's got Green Day, and then it's got the picture of the cocaine baggie and the new album title, which is Father of All Motherfuckers. not too sure where to start.
And so apparently EDM Twitter and like EDM social media was kind of like, well, this is really fucking lame, like this billboard that they put out. Because, you know, they're taking aim at, you know, the fact that a lot of music these days, if it has features on it, you know, artists coming onto other people's tracks. They're also taking aim at the fact that a lot of tracks have songwriters behind them. And there is a notable Swedish songwriter that is actually behind a lot of, not a lot, but that is behind and influencing a lot of some of the pop music that we hear today. So I thought that was a really interesting claim. This billboard is claiming a lot of different things and, you know, basically taking jabs and making fun of what a lot of modern day music sounds like. And the line no trap beats is one that really kind of people felt like it was directly targeting EDM. And so I'm going to read a quote here from Billy Joe Armstrong, who is the frontman of Green Day. So he says, rock has lost its balls. We're going to teabag all these motherfuckers, the baddest rock band on the planet that gives a shit. And that's in reference to Green Day. You know, basically, Green Day has been gone for a long time. And by a long time, I mean about 4 years since their last release came out. And they're kind of coming back and they're kind of just taking aim at what the modern day music scene looks like and saying, like, this isn't right. And like, we're one of the few people who are staying true to what music should be all about. They're making themselves appear very dated. And I can understand why people would be a little bit pissed off about this. Now, look, do I think that this billboard, you know, deserved all the criticism that it got? Like, you know, oh, you guys are claiming this and you guys like are has-beens and all that. No, like I think it's okay sometimes to poke fun at ourselves and to poke fun at, you know, different genres and just, you know, have a little bit of fun and be a little bit, you know, don't be so serious about these things because that's what Green Day is known for, man. Like a lot of their old music from, you know, late 90s, early 00s was just poking fun and commenting on today's social issues. But, you know, if you listen to some of their lyrics, they do it in a very fun kind of comedic way. They're still driving home their point, but they're doing it in a very fun comedic type of way. So I personally don't think that them putting out this billboard and taking aim at the fact that music has a lot of features now or has a lot of songwriters behind it or incorporates trap beats, like I don't think that that's big of a deal. Like I don't understand why people are so pissed off.
Yeah,
did you see this before? Like, I'm not sure if you heard about this before this article here from Mixmag.
No, I didn't really see it before. You know, it is. I mean, first of all, I think people just like to get worked up about things in general, right? And
yeah,
I think that's just especially just Twitter. If you're on Twitter, you're just gonna, you know, stream of conscious voice your opinion and your initial knee jerk reactions to it. And I think that's probably the point of the whole billboard, right? It's just
right.
It's interesting you talk about how Green Day has a history of poking fun at things and making a bit of commentary through some comedic lyrics in their songs, but I do wonder if this is just really more of a straight publicity play. I don't know if their songs are going to be, I mean, I what I'm trying to say here is I don't know if they are truly taking aim at the way that music is right now. Perhaps they're just what could we say that would piss people off? You know what I mean?
I mean, like, I definitely think that they are trying to take aim. Okay. I do think that they are trying to take aim. And actually, when they reference the No Swedish Songwriters, there's kind of some rumors floating around that they're actually taking aim at this guy known as Shellback. Okay. And his real name is Carl Johan Schuster. And he's written or co-written songs for people like Pink, Taylor Swift, Adam Lambert, Britney Spears, Usher, Avril Lavigne, Ariana Grande, Adele, Maroon 5. So, like, literally some of the biggest names in pop music today. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so, like, you know, what they're saying is, like, basically the lyrics that these artists are putting out in today's pop music is just, it's just not authentic.
Right. It's not theirs. Mm.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I think that's that's probably an interesting discussion for another time, right? Does having a songwriter mean, you know, or at least just, you know, from the lyrical perspective, does that mean it's not authentic? I think that would be very interesting. Yeah, that would be an interesting topic. But, you know, man, I agree. I could see why people are upset by this. I mean, this is kind of just something where it's like, I just think it's quite dumb, you know, and I think it's just, you know, I'm just like, okay, whatever, sure. I wouldn't get worked up about it. I just think it's just a bit cringeworthy of a way to advertise. Like, and just a new album, you know, kind of title as well. It's a bit much, I think.
But look at all the publicity that it's getting. It was trending on Twitter at a certain point. There's so many articles written about just the Billboard alone before even the album dropped. So the whole thing is just garnering a lot of publicity for them. So I think that they did put out this album in order to kind of cause up a stir. And I think it really worked in their favor. Because it really, like, made a splash. They're like, yeah, Green Day is back. They're making some new music.
I mean, we'll see. We'll see, really, what the outcome is, right? Because I think it's a dangerous, you know, people always say, you know, there's no such thing as bad publicity. And I don't really know if that's actually true.
I don't agree with that.
I don't really agree with that. And I think that they maybe could have done this in a different way. So we'll have to see. I mean, it really just depends on what they were trying to accomplish here. And, you know, I think maybe there was probably a different way they could have gone about this, perhaps. I don't know. It just comes off just very cringeworthy. And
yeah,
maybe this plays towards a certain demographic, right? And some of them love it. Right. But it just seems like it's just a little bit cringeworthy here, just a little bit too much. But we'll see. I mean, you know, I mean, they certainly got the publicity, as you said. So we will have to see, you know, how their album does and, you know, if people were just going to, you know, off their back on Green Day.
That's right. But you know what? EDM Twitter, I think we can all calm down. All right.
That's the thing. I don't think they're taking aim at trap, like the electronic music trap. I think they're taking aim at rap, like kind of the old trap before, you know. So I think maybe EDM Twitter got a little bit worked up over something that actually wasn't taking aim at them.
Exactly. I will 100% agree with that. Yeah. Like, I think that's why EDM Twitter got themselves into kind of a frenzy, because, like, I agree. This isn't like trap music, like what you and I both talk about here on the show.
It's not
this
saying all like, people like Quix and like, I don't know, like Stucky Sound.
Can you imagine
sound?
Green Day
like,
coming for Quix, dude?
Oh man, no, oh, I don't. Man. I don't think so. I really don't. They probably have some opinions on it, though. But
yeah, I'm sure they would.
Yeah, I don't think this is what they were talking about. So
right,
you know, I think we can hop off the back if you wanted to, you know, defend the integrity of electronic music. I don't think they were directly coming at electronic music.
I will completely agree with you on that one, man. I just thought this was a very funny topic for us to
talk about, just because
people were in such a frenzy about it. But all right, dude, let's move on.
I'm very excited
about this,
yes,
because
sir.
I think that the possibilities here, I truly believe, are endless for what this new partnership can do. So, Alec, are you aware of who Made Events is?
Oh, yeah. This is a New York City-based group here. Made Event has got some just fantastic stuff. They've done just a great job, right? Just across the board. I mean, they deliver Electric Zoo, right? E-Zoo for all those in the know, right? All my East Coasters out there.
And what up?
They just do... I feel like they've just done a better and better job. I mean, we've talked to them quite a lot. You know, they're not perfect, but they've just been, you know, they've really done a good job growing Electric Zoo, I think, to the size that it is now. And then we've also got ID&T there, which is a Netherlands-based what's up out to the Dutch over there. This strategic new partnership, man, between them is going to be very interesting. So, you know, Samir, I mean, what do you think is really going to come out of this and what the goal is here? Do you think this is a good fit?
Oh.
Do you think they both are going to do something really cool here?
I do, and I'm very excited to see what comes of this partnership. So just to give everybody a little bit of background here, Made Event, huge, huge New York City-based promoter group. I mean, literally, if you're in New York City and you rave, you know who Made Events is. These guys put on Electric Zoo. They bring all of the biggest names to New York City at all the various clubs and venues around the city. So this is huge. And these guys have been absolutely killing it for a long time. And the shows are always so much fun and such a great time. IDNT, for those of you guys who don't know, put on things like the Awakenings Festival, Drum Code Festival. They also put on Mysteryland, which is a huge festival as well. So the fact that we have such a recognizable international brand and Made Event, who has just absolutely time and time again proved what they are able to do in New York City, teaming up like this. I mean, the possibilities are truly endless on both sides of the world. Like, I feel like Made Event has tried to bring Electric Zoo to other countries. So if you go onto the Electric Zoo website, you'll notice that at the bottom of the website, they have pages for Electric Zoo in Brazil. They have one for Electric Zoo in Mexico and Electric Zoo in Taiwan. But, you know, it's important to realize that those festivals happened maybe once or twice in those countries, and then they never came back. So I think what happened was is that Made Event, when they tried to expand globally like that, they realized they just don't truly have the bandwidth to make all these festivals succeed. And so they came back to New York City, they came back to their origins, and they decided to just focus their efforts on New York City and just continue to build their reputation here. And I mean, these guys truly have become the number one promoter for electronic music events. I mean, the show that I'm going to on Friday, the Galantis show, is put on by Made Events. I've been to a lot of their events, and they do a great job. IDNT, on the other hand, like I said, is known for putting on absolutely spectacular festivals and events. So what I think is going to happen here, I think that New York City, I think that Made Event is going to come to different European countries. We're seeing this cross kind of, you know, these partnerships kind of bringing these brands more globally as EDM grows. And I think we're going to find Electric Zoo, or at least some iteration of Electric Zoo, in these different countries. And I think that IDNT is going to bring some of their brands to New York City in partnership with Made Event, because now they have these boots on the ground out here in New York City. Peep this. Here is a great example of this. I mentioned Awakenings being a festival that IDNT puts on, right? Awakenings actually hosted a stage at Electric Zoo, which is a Made Event, in 2017 for all 3 days. They had their own tent, and the Awakenings brand was brought to Electric Zoo for 3 days in 2017. It was awesome. Great techno, great house music all throughout the weekend from those guys. And I feel like now that I'm seeing this partnership kind of unfold, I feel like that was kind of a test run for Electric Zoo to see how they handle bringing an IDNT brand to New York City. And here's a bold prediction from my end.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised if Awakenings, like the brand Awakenings, comes to New York City.
Oh.
And maybe throws some of their one night events here, or perhaps even throws like a 2 day festival or a 1 day festival, just straight techno on Randall's Island. That would be amazing if Randall's Island was able to hold a techno festival. And Randall's Island is where Electric Zoo takes place. It's an awesome venue between Manhattan and Queens. The reason why I think that this would be a great venue for a techno festival is because Hyte, H-Y-T-E, a Berlin-based techno promoter, did the very same about 2 years ago. They held their own festival over there. And you know what? They haven't been back since. So I think just having these two partnerships like this, it's just going to be a fantastic opportunity for both of these promoters to bring their brands across the pond, so to speak.
You know, man, that is a very interesting point. And I think, was there much of a follow-up around Hyte, right? Like kind of what happened there? You know, did it fall through a little bit?
I don't know if necessarily like the festival fell through, like the actual like experience of the festival, like it wasn't canceled.
Oh no,
or anything.
I mean in terms of, sorry, I should clarify. I meant more in terms of you know, the reception of it. Was it not as successful as they probably wanted it to be?
Yeah, I didn't really hear like overwhelmingly positive reviews about Hyte.
Interesting.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I've heard just it was so-so. Like there was a stage and there were techno artists. That's
yeah.
It.
See, I think that could be that might be. You know, that might be what did it in, I guess, and why it's probably not back. And I think maybe IDNT could take the lesson from that, right? And just see that you kind of got to, if you're going to do it, you got to go full out, right? You've got to
Oh, absolutely agreed.
Absolutely full out for this. And especially if you're doing techno, because you just don't pull as large of a crowd as, you know, something like Electric Zoo is just, you know, there's just a lot more of a broader appeal, right? So you really do need to hone in on just and make sure that you've got, you know, the financial side of things and the business side of things is all wrapped up, you know, and done well as too. And then on top of that, you just got to make sure the experience is catered properly to that techno listening audience. That there's certainly, you know, there's certainly a big base out there in New York. I know there's a lot of people who, you know, and they're very loyal, right? People who are into techno are very loyal and they keep on support all these events and stuff, but just got to make sure you make an event that's really tailored to them. But it, in, you know, I think addressing your prediction now, I think you're probably spot on. I think that's kind of the move that they're going to do. In terms of what I would say, I think maybe it's hard to tell if they're going to go straight up for a full on festival. I wonder if they're going to start with some type of, you know, hosting some events, right? It's going to be interesting, right? I don't know which one they're going to do too. Are they going to dive headfirst into the pool, right, and launch their own little mini festival in Randall's Island, or are they going to host some events at some nightclubs and stuff and just kind of dip their toes in the water there?
I mean, I definitely don't think like the first thing that they're going to do is try to throw like a big festival out here in New York City, like ID&T throwing like an Awakenings festival out here in New York City. But I do think that eventually we will see something like that from them.
Maybe in a year or two,
once they've kind of, you know, taken a hold and like really kind of established the Awakenings brand out here. Because really, the people who know Awakenings, like if you're a fan of techno, you might have heard of Awakenings, but it's probably not something that is like totally on your radar as like something I want to go to. But if you start to see the Awakenings logo pop up in New York City and you get to experience one of their events in like, you know, one of our premier venues here, like Avant Garner, then I think that like having that branding Awakenings is going to make you think about that the next time that you see like an event from them pop up on your social media.
You know what I mean?
So I think it's just a matter of penetrating the market, and I think they'll easily be able to do that with this partnership with Made Event.
Yeah, I think if they play this smart, you know, if they do this in you know, think from a very strategic perspective like that, right, where they are incorporating their branding alongside some of Made Event events, right, getting some of that brand recognition out there, you know, whether it's, as you said before, just having the logo and things at different events and things like that, or to doing some advertising, so long as they raise some brand awareness before they try to, you know, put, I guess for lack of a better term, put boots on the ground over here in New York and throw their own stuff. I think if they do this right and kind of take their time with it, I think it can pull off, and I think they'll be able to have a, you know, a fantastic Awakenings event in New York City.
I absolutely agree. And one of the reasons why I think this is just such an important article to discuss, even though it might be just a little bit more relevant to our fellow East Coast EDM champions and also like our European EDM champions, is because I hope we start to see more of these sorts of partnerships take place all around the world. When you have these partnerships take place, like a festival that you might go to like every single year, like for instance, I go to Izu pretty much every single year since 2014. I've been 5 times. And I'm not saying that it's gone stale. I'm not saying that at all. But, you know, when you have partnerships like this, it can breathe a new life into a festival that you're used to going. It can get you excited about, you know, finding something new about a festival. Because I pretty much have explored like every single nook and cranny of Izu. So now that we have this partnership with ID&T and Made Event, I'm sure they're going to be bringing their own flavor and their own style into this. One thing that I think is apparent here already, and why I think that we're going to start to see this, is because Electric Zoo actually just announced their theme for their festival. And the theme is kind of like this supernatural, kind of far out, alien-like theme and vibe that they're going for this year. So saying that, if you guys take a look at what Mysteryland, a festival that is ran by ID&T in Europe, if you take a look at what they've done with their stage designs and their vibe, you'll find that like Mysteryland is also a very kind of trippy, far out design to it, especially the main stage. So I think we're going to see some of that art and creativity come here into New York. So like I said, partnerships like this all around the country, all around the world, whether it be with the promoters out in LA or the promoters, you know, in Texas or Austin or wherever, these sorts of partnerships can make events become very, very exciting and refreshing to people. So I hope we see more stuff like this.
No, I agree. And I think just these type of partnerships is something I think is going to increase right across the board, these strategic partnerships. I've always thought it's a very smart way to go about things. But also, you know, the thing we probably also haven't talked about too is it does, you know, not only does it expand, you know, your potential audience base and the people that you're attracting there and allow you to, you know, add some more flavor to the current festival, you know, what one partner has, or, you know, being able to navigate different waters with different genres and stuff, which is kind of what Made Event is doing here too. I think the biggest thing as well is just from a pure business perspective, from a pure financial perspective, having a partnership and being able to pool funds and also resources is definitely something that's going to be a big, big deal for 2020 in the foreseeable future, because we have seen a lot of promotion companies, a lot of, you know, just clubs in general have been finding it a bit difficult to survive in this new business world. So I think being able to pool resources together from two, you know, quite experienced now groups is definitely going to help in terms of the longevity of their business models, if that makes sense.
Exciting time for EDM, man.
I don't know.
I'm getting all excited and jittery about it. You know, might just be the pre-workout that's still probably coursing through my veins.
It might be that.
Anyways, before we cap off the news and culture topics, we do have to talk about this because I think, you know, this is just another example of why looking after yourself in this scene is just so important, and just how hard, you know, the producers and the DJs and the performers work in this scene, man. Who are we talking about?
We're going to talk about What's or Not. And, you know, this is an article that came out February 6th from Dancing Astronaut. So if you haven't caught it, definitely check the, you know, check our show notes here. But if you haven't heard already, he's taking an indefinite leave from the EDM scene, which is just, you know, there's been quite a few artists in general across the board, whether it's in EDM or not, who've been decided to take some breaks. But I feel like electronic music has been pretty affected by this recently, where the touring life is just not really compatible with the artist's health. And this appears to be the case with What's or Not. He posted on his Twitter talking about how it's just the touring has just been a lot. He's done 400 shows in the last 3 years. I mean, that's a lot, you know, and just being on the road is quite difficult. And, you know, he referenced to just kind of as a reflection point, all the fires and that's been going on in Australia. And that really puts things into perspective of him that, you know, just life is quite precious and, you know, you've got to take care of your health. So while it's saddening to see that he needs to take a break, I do believe that he's going to do some more work in the studio, which will be nice. And I know that's another reason why people take breaks from touring, but it's just so long as he gets on top of whatever health issues are ailing him, you know, that then I'm all for it. So just, you know, good luck to him, and hopefully, you know, he can get through this tough time.
I completely agree with that, man. And I can't believe 400 shows in 3 years.
It's a lot. It's an absolute lot. It's a lot.
The amount of flying around and the lack of sleep, I feel like it just really would really get to people like that, man. You know, like, I tell you what, like, even just kind of, you know, when I'm traveling myself and I do like a long distance trip, it's just, you know, by the end of the trip, I'm exhausted, man, just by sitting in planes and, you know, changing and, you know, packing and all that stuff is crazy. And you know, the article by Dancing Astronaut also mentions that What's or Not departed from Flume. You know what I mean? So I feel like it's just a compound of all this stuff, you know, happening so immediately, like with the split from Flume, all these shows that he's done, and then, you know, obviously doing some self-reflection after what's happened in Australia tragically. I'm just happy to see that artists are recognizing when it's time to just kind of take a step back from the scene. We saw that with Hardwell, right? And we're seeing that with What's or Not. And I just think it's so, so incredibly important, whether you're a famous DJ or producer and you're working on the come up, like, it's just, it's important for everybody to just look out for themselves,
right,
within music and without and like outside of music.
Totally. And you know, just to clarify too, I mean, the Flume split happened a while back.
Right.
Ever since that has occurred, you kind of can just put two. He didn't mention that as being something, but I think that might be.
Part of it, man.
Yeah, I'm sure it was, but I think it was more just kind of what the consequences of that split were, which is the fact that he went on, you know, and just as the Dancing Astronaut article said, he did a lot of touring right after that. So I think there's, you know, it's not a direct reason for this leave of absence, but you know, it's definitely definitely caused some of the reasons for it.
Of course,
it's really worth mentioning too the fact that then I don't know if What's or Not really needed to tour like this in order to stay relevant, in order to make money. But I know that there's a lot of different artists who do need to tour like this to make just enough money. Seems like there's going to be some type of breaking point where just the business model of this needs to change, right? And the way that artists make money and can get their brand out there. Just because it seems like you know, from the get-go, I mean, we've talked about it before, and I'm sure we will. I think there's still going to be a lot more stories on this, but just the economics of it from the get-go just seem to be kind of screwy, right? Whether it's clubs going out of business, event promoters going out of business. Then you've got, on top of that, DJs having to just tour absolutely everywhere. I mean, just more so than probably any other type of artist in the music industry, right? Just in order to make money. And that's largely because they're not making much money off of the actual record sales anymore. I mean, people are streaming. It's just a whole different era. So I feel like that has to be in the conversation too, because I do feel like they're not just touring like that for the sake of it. I think there is definitely that they know that they really need to in order to keep up, you know, the kind of the money, as it's in a certain way. I mean, if you're big, if you're kind of like a Calvin Harris, right? If you're really, really big, it's not as important. But to get there, you really do need to in order to sustain yourself, right? I mean, it's just not a lot of money when you're playing these shows, and you have to build up your reputation. It's just kind of this negative spiral that occurs where you just kind of have to do one to get the other, and then the other one begets the other one too. So there needs to be some type of change in the business model here, and I don't really know a way out of this, unfortunately. I have to see. I think maybe the only way to do it is how can we help artists monetize more the songs that they're putting out there, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's really the only way to get out, because it's not a healthy lifestyle, man. I mean, touring that much, you know, it's just not a healthy lifestyle. And lest we forget too, when you're playing most likely at night the majority of the time, let's say 70 to 80% of your time. You just become an absolute night owl. I mean, that screws up your circadian rhythm. I'm sure you're not sleeping much, which is, you know, from everything that we're seeing now, is just absolutely horrible for your health, both mentally and physically. So there needs to be a shift, I think, in the fundamental business model of how these artists in the electronic music industry are making their money, because it's just contributing to this just terrible lifestyle of having to be on the road 24/7. I mean, it's always been an issue for musicians, right, and artists. It always has been. But I do feel like it's something that is particularly affecting DJs and producers in the EDM space.
I completely agree with you, man. And I feel the same way, especially as EDM has kind of grown all around the country and all around the world as well.
Yeah, I wish there was a brighter end to that. But, you know, it's kind of just a talking point for the foreseeable future. So we'll keep everyone up to date on things like that. But All right, man, we're moving on. I know you have been very excited to talk about this, so I'm going to let you take away the anti-plur moment.
I don't know if I'm excited to talk about this, because honestly, it's just so upsetting.
Yeah,
man.
This is not good. I mean, this is kind of a I'll let you take this away, man. I mean, it's not a great topic. We'll dig into it.
Okay. EDM champions, how you guys doing? Okay, this is the anti-plur moment where Alec and I take a step back and we talk about some things that, you know, may have caught our attention in a negative way about what's going on in the EDM scene. And normally we don't like to do these kind of very specific and pinpointed events that happen in the EDM scene. Like, we don't like to go too specific with our anti-plur moments. But this one, man, I saw this on Reddit, and it really, really, really upset me a lot, especially as somebody who loves his dog. But I was browsing Reddit.com, the Raves subreddit. If you guys have not checked out that subreddit, it is a fantastic place to stay up to date with what's going on in our EDM scene. It's very US specific, but it's a lot of fun to browse. But unfortunately, there was a picture that somebody had posted of a guy holding up an animal at a festival in Tacoma, Washington. And the festival was Excisions Festival that he just had a week or two ago. This is a picture of this guy straight up, like Simba styled from Lion King, holding up his service dog. It has a service dog vest on it, holding him up right in the air so the dog could, I guess, witness, you know, the lighting, the bass, the music, you know, like all this just massive sensory overload. There's a couple of things that I want to talk about here, because I do think it's important to really just kind of lay down the groundwork here. I have seen service animals at events before. I have. One thing that I think is incredibly important is that, you know, we should be creating opportunities for folks with all sorts of ailments or impairments to be able to take part in festivals, but we should be doing this in a responsible manner, right? This relationship that somebody has with a service animal, I believe, isn't a one-way relationship. The animal is helping you live just as much as you're helping this animal live. And I think that when the relationship becomes incredibly one-sided, where the human is the one that is the only one that's being cared for, and you know that human is not caring for the animal in return, I think that it can become very dangerous and detrimental to an animal's health. And so seeing this picture of this guy straight up holding up, you know, his service animal towards the stage while this massive amount of production is happening. I mean, if you guys have seen the videos from Excision's most recent festival, the Thunderdome Festival in Tacoma, Washington, then you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, crazy production. And Excision is no joke when it comes to his sound and the amount of bass that he brings to these festivals. And guys, we all know this. We've all taken biology. We know that dogs have much, much more sensitive hearing than we do, and we know that they are much more reactive to the environment around them. So now to see this animal put into just an absolutely terrifying place like this, it's incredibly, incredibly upsetting. And to me, it looks like that this person is not really caring about the well-being or the safety of this dog. You know, as an animal lover and just really as just a human being in general, this is a really, really shitty thing to do. And two words I have to say to this guy is, fuck you. That's it. That's my anti-player moment.
Man. It's just such a sucky situation. It's not good.
This is the fucking epitome of anti-player right here, dude. This right here in this picture, this is what this looks like, man. I was so angry when I saw this picture. I texted it to you, man. I was like, as soon as I saw it, I was like, this is disgusting. This isn't right. We need people to like tell people like this, like that is completely unacceptable. There is no hearing protection on this dog at all. And when I've seen service animals at events, I've always seen them with hearing protection. And I'm not talking about earplugs. I'm talking about massive freaking, like, you know, those massive, like, construction worker style hearing protection aids. But this is just really, really upsetting, man. I don't know what to say. I can't believe there are people out there in this world that do this kind of shit.
I really don't know what to say about it, because it's quite shocking to see that somebody's going to treat an animal that way, you know, and just not thinking at all. I mean, it's just such a stupid thing to do. And it just doesn't make any sense. Like, why would you hold your fucking dog up there like that? It's just dangerous for the animal, and it's just nonsensical. It doesn't really make any sense, and I can't really think of any excuse for this person's behavior. I don't think there really is one, and I don't think you should be able to give one. Part of the problem is, you know, person not thinking, but also just implicitly there's this egocentrism that comes with it, right?
Yeah.
You're not thinking about others, you're thinking about yourself, and it's just this kind of like dominion that humans tend to have over animals, right? The sense of dominion, sorry, I should say, where it's like, right, you know, then they're not really thinking about the animal's welfare, nor do they really care as much, right? And they just think they can do what they like with animals. And I think that could be something at play here too. I don't know. I'm not going to speak for his motivations and why he's doing what he's doing, but it's just bang out of order. And to be honest, I hope someone stopped him. You know, again, I think maybe, I don't know if there was hearing protection with the dog beforehand, but I think this is just something that should be a policy for festivals, right? Like, I mean, if you're bringing an animal in, you should see that this person has the proper hearing protection for their animal, right? And that they're bringing in the animal for the correct reasons. So,
yeah, definitely, man. Absolutely.
Thank you for that, you know, anti-player.
Thank you for letting me rant on that. Oh, no, of course, man. I gotta get out my feelings on that one, man.
Of course, man. I mean, and I think a lot of people can appreciate your sentiment with that, and I think that's, you know, something that's just bang out of order. I don't really know anybody that would be like, oh, that's okay. So that's a very good use of the anti-plume moment for this week, man.
All right.
But
right
on a brighter note, we're gonna move onwards to one of our favorite sections. It's the penultimate section of this episode. It is the what are we listening to section, where we pick two tracks, two EPs or two albums to talk about. We give our own unique rating scale on them as well. So Samir, before we dig into what we're going to talk about this week, can you remind our listeners about our rating scale?
Yes, sir. Of course. EDM champions, here on Beyond the Beats, we have our very own unique rating scale, and it ranges from levels 1 through 5. Level one is what we call one listen. It's where you listen to a track and you're probably never ever gonna listen again, but you're encouraging other people to give it a listen. Level two is what we call background noise. It's when a song comes on, it's playing in the background, you're not gonna really do anything with it, you might be doing other things, you're not too bothered by it, but it's there to keep you company. Level three is what we call turn it up. It's when a song comes on, you grab the volume knob and you turn it up. Level four is what we call just bought tickets. It's when you listen to a piece of music, you listen to an artist, and you immediately look up the next time that they're coming to your town and you gotta buy those tickets. And level five is speechless. It's just you and the music. The song transports you into another world and literally leaves you speechless. So to recap, level one is one listen, level two is background noise, level three is turn it up, level four is just bought tickets, and level five is speechless. Let's get back to it. All right, Alec, kick us off, my man. What are we talking about?
Let's dig into first IO's latest releases. He just dropped an EP called NRG 444. And this is kind of reverting back, I think, to his original style, I should say, because his last release is kind of, he attempted some acid there, right? And kind of mixed reviews on that one. But this is kind of going back to the sound that really made him more popular. And I'll tell you what, man, just first initial thoughts on this is that I really, really enjoyed this.
This was fucking awesome, dude. This was so much fun to listen to. It's a 4-track EP released on Mousetrap Records. And this is exactly, like you just said, what I would expect from IO. I really enjoy this EP a lot, man. From beginning to end, I feel like every single one of these tracks was extremely, I don't know how to explain it, but it was just, the energy was, and it's appropriately named, but the energy of this EP was just at an all-time high. Like, I would love to hear these tracks live, dude.
Absolutely, man. I mean, let's dig into the fact that I think the second half to all of these tracks were just phenomenal, particularly Another Level. I mean, do you know what I'm saying when I say that the second half in particular? Because I think that's something sometimes people may overlook. And what I really appreciate in a lot of tracks, particularly more in the techno or even tech house arena there, is when they really do a phenomenal second half of the track. It kind of completes the story that the song is trying to tell, right? And it builds off of the first drop and the first half, but then adds some more flavors and just some more elements into it, kind of just like a logical progression there. And I feel like I really nailed it with that. I mean, as I mentioned before, I think Another Level was probably my favorite one off of this.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed all of them. Dancing 2020 was great. Parental Advisory was great. And This Is Rave was great too. I mean, they're all fantastic Raven songs, man. And again, as you said, I think you hit the nail on the head there. These are the tracks that I want to hear live.
I mean, I can just imagine them absolutely popping off in a nice warehouse, you know? And one thing that I think everybody should just know about IO and the way that he takes on techno is that, you know, techno is very slow to build and very slow to kind of add elements. But the point of techno is to kind of put you into a trance because, you know, people will argue that techno is very repetitive, which it is. That's kind of the point of techno, is to really, like, you're hearing this one beat kind of over and over again, and it gets you moving. And right when you think you're about to kind of get sick and tired of hearing the same, like, kick, it starts to add in another element, which kind of, you know, boosts your energy up and kind of really creates this, you know, this kind of wave that you're riding here with. Yes, there's a lot of repetition, but then when those elements are added in at the right time appropriately, it can really make a track pop off.
I agree, man.
IO's tracks, because look, let's also like take a look at runtime for some of these tracks, right? Another Level is 5 minutes, Dancing 2020, 5 minutes and 30 seconds, Parental Advisory is 6 minutes and 30 seconds, and This Is Rave is 3 minutes and 30 seconds. I would say that on average, techno tracks are usually between 6 minutes and 30 seconds to 8 minutes long. That's because they focus more on the buildup and they focus a lot on the repetition and adding in those elements at the right time. With IO, you're going to get elements in these techno tracks that come in much quicker. And for a lot of people, this is a great introduction to techno because, like I said, some people will find techno to be boring, but they will find IO's take on techno to be very exciting. And that's why I think that this EP, Energy 444, I personally think it is a perfect place for people who are interested in techno to take a dive into it, to get their feet wet, to be like, oh, is this something that I like? Take a listen to this EP. I think you might shock yourself.
Dude, very well said there, man, because
I would 100%
agree with you on this. I think Io is a fantastic, you know, artist if you to go and see not only live but also to listen to if you want to get a sense of what the techno world is like. So I think it's a great artist, a great sound to get your feet wet, right, as you were so aptly saying. I think it's just, it goes to show that, you know, techno can really expand, I think, its base, right? And there's a whole argument or debate, rather, that you can have with people on whether, you know, it's something that you should. You know, a lot of people may call him, I mean, what's the term they say? Like, the big room of techno, right? Almost.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of just these, you know, not very nice way of labeling some of these artists and things, right? But you know, my personal opinion, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I think it's a good thing that techno is reaching out and expanding to a broad audience, because once these people get their feet wet, there's a good chance that they'll start supporting, you know, more of the underground or the quote-unquote real techno scene. And I put quote-unquote there because I disagree with people who say this isn't necessarily real techno. I don't think that you can border up and boundary genres and subgenres of electronic music in that way. I think that kind of goes against the point, right? You know, the whole point is that you can be flexible, more flexible with these things, right? So I don't agree with people who try to really box and categorize and say, okay, you can't do anything outside of this, right? I think Io is, you know, taking on that mentality and flipping it on its head. And I think he's showing that, you know, techno can be much more accessible than people think.
Very well said. I think we're on pretty much the same page on that one. Alec, what is the other track that we're talking about,
dude,
man? Tell me.
Very pumped up about this one. We're talking about Grizz, right? But not Grizz in the way that you're probably used to.
Oh, this should be hitting different.
Right, it's not quite hitting different like that. It's definitely hitting different, though, in general. We're talking about Could You, his new track that he released on Nightbass.
Oh.
Yes, that's right, Nightbass, the bass house and house label. Right, run by AC Slater, legend there too.
Oh, baby.
Dude, this track was, I was so happy to see that he took on house music. I thought that was just, I love it when artists do that, by the way.
Oh,
I love it when
God.
Different artists from different genres decide to dive into house music, because let's be honest here, house music is awesome, and I think all artists can share the appreciation of house music just because it's a very defining genre of the electronic music scene. So I love that they're delving into this and kind of expanding even their own audience's, you know, taste here. And I think that was really neat that he released it under his own alias and name too, Grizz, right? He didn't decide to do a side-off project or anything.
Yep.
So I think that was a very bold move here, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to be flexible here. I'm going to do something that some of you may not like, but you know what? Screw it, because I think it's awesome. And I agree with him. I think this track was absolutely awesome.
Oh my God. When I saw that this dropped, Grizz with the song Could You, and then I saw that it was released on Nightbass Records, you have no idea how quickly I hit the play button on this thing, man. I was like, I need to peep this right now. Dude, I am incredibly, incredibly impressed with this track. This is just phenomenal, man. I mean, it really, like, when it first started, I was like, oh, this still sounds like a kind of like a regular Grizz sort of track. You know what I mean? Like, very funky bass lines, very funky lyrics, very funky voice to the lyricist here. And, dude, when it dropped, oh, this song is a shuffler's paradise, dude. A shuffler's paradise.
I agree.
If you shuffle, you're going to freaking love this song, man. Even if you don't shuffle, you're going to love this song. I hope, and I have a feeling it will, I hope this is going to be dominating the festival circuit, man. I want to hear this song live so badly, because I can just imagine the energy and the crowd's just absolutely popping off to this track.
Totally, man. And again, you know, you're seeing it more and more where artists are not only just diving into house music from the production side of things, right, and producing more house music, but I've noticed even from the trap side of things, right, if you're seeing a trap set, I've noticed people throwing in some house music in there. Kind of breaks it up a bit, adds a little bit more, you know, it just adds a little bit of flair to it, right? It's something different, right? It gets the crowd moving potentially a little bit more if they're getting tired of some of those trap drops, right? I think it's really interesting. I know Akali is a fan of that. He does that a lot. Nitty Gritty, we all know he does that lot too, throws in the house music. So I'd love to see Grizz throwing some house music into a set. You know what, actually, I'd love him to play a full house set. I would be very interested.
That'd be sick.
It'd be some groovy
this funky beat.
It'd be some groovy stuff for sure.
Yeah,
but
You know, I would love to hear more of this type of house music.
Totally, man. Totally. Well, I think we're on the same page, really, for these both. So, you know, let's go ahead and rate it, because I have a feeling that we're going to be on the same page for this, too. So let's go ahead. Let's give IO's NRG444 EP a rating. Samir, what are you going to give it, man?
All right, my man. I'm going to give this a just bought tickets.
Nice. Very nice.
Okay, dude, this is a fantastic EP. Some folks who are into techno will say, like, this isn't techno. You know what? Shut up, okay? This is a different type of techno, and it's geared towards a different type of audience. And I think that this is a fantastic EP, and a lot of these tracks are absolute bangers that I would love to hear in a techno set, all right? So, and I would love to see IO live. I think he would absolutely pop off. So I'm a big fan of this EP, and I'm buying tickets to this. Alec, what do you think?
I'm right there with you, man. If you buy tickets to this, I'm right alongside you. I'm giving
level
4 out of 5, just bought tickets as well. This is just a fantastic, fantastic release. And it's definitely, you know, making me want to go see him.
Yeah, hopefully he's at EDC this year, and hopefully he's not playing on, like, the Friday, because he was at EDC in 2019.
That's right.
But he's playing on Friday. You remember how much traffic we ran into with those damn shuttles?
Dude, I know, I know. So hopefully there's another slot. I think he's going to have the best time slot this time, too. I think it's going to be later on in the night. I hope they do it right. I hope they put him at, like, kind of a... I could see this being...
Like 11 p.m.
Yeah, kind of, you know, get the vibe a bit. You know, it's a little bit more energetic than some of the other techno, right, that might be there. So definitely looking for a prime time slot at 11 p.m. there. Okay, dude, moving onwards, we've got Grizz with Could You. That's his release on Nightbase. What are you going to rate it?
Alec, could you pass me the first speechless of 2020, baby?
Dude,
I am giving shit a speechless.
Are you
Yeah, I'll give her this speech.
We need like
dude.
A sample just to go off. Like
straight up, through and through. The reason why I'm giving this a speechless is because we have never really heard this sound from Grizz before, I feel like I've never heard a house song from Grizz. But the fact that I want to hear more from Grizz is why I got to give this a speechless, man. This was a very well-executed track. It was a very fun track. It was definitely true to what we expect from Grizz. Funky bass lines, funky lyrics. But my God, the quality of this track is just so clean for somebody that doesn't really regularly produce house music. And really, when I listened to it, man, I was speechless. I could not believe what I was hearing from Grizz in this release that he had on Nightbase Records. So this is a speechless for me, Alec. What'd you think?
Wow. I can't believe it. Kicking it off strong in 2020. Only a couple episodes in and your first speechless, man, of the new year.
I found it, baby.
You found it. Well, I tell you what, that is... I did not expect that, to be perfectly honest.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't expect the speechless for it. Man, I'm not quite there on a speechless level. You know, I'm very nitpicky with it.
I know.
Probably maybe too much, but, you know, whatever. That's my
Alec is expecting, like, a nice gift to give a track a speechless. He's like, if you grease my palms.
No, you cannot grease me.
No, I know, I'm messing around.
No. Well, maybe, actually. It depends what the gift is. I don't want to rule out.
If you buy my EDC ticket,
everyone has a number, right? Everyone has a number in some way, right? I don't know what mine is, so explore it. Feel free to explore it if you want. Maybe I'll give you a speechless.
Buy me my regular morning coffee,
right,
and I'll give you a speechless. There you go.
Damn, that's some low standards there, man. Jeez, I don't know about that. Christ.
I'm messing.
It's like, if you're going to try to grease me up, though, send it to me first. Right, there's no guarantee. Right, but honestly, on a more serious note, man, I'm going to give this a level 4 out of 5, just bought tickets. Not quite
very
there
nice.
With you on the speechless, but I mean, for me, you know, this is still a very, very highly rated song in my books. I absolutely love the new direction that Grizz is taking with this, and I hope he continues this house music trend. So, I mean, that's all I really have to say on it, man, because I'm in agreement with you that this is just such a cool release from him, and I'm just very, very impressed with the quality that
nice.
He's done it with. So, you know, shout out to Grizz for doing the house music wave correctly. All right, man, we're here. It's the artist we're watching section. And I'll tell you what, as always, we've got two fantastic artists that we're going to introduce you to if you haven't heard of them before. And the chances are you probably haven't. What's really interesting before we delve into this, man, is that I think we picked very similar vibes, just kind of out of nowhere. And we tend not to always just, you know, we don't plan this all the time, right? We just kind of send each other the stuff that we're going to showcase. And we both had these people selected, and they just kind of tend to be on the same vibe. So I think that was a very interesting thing to note.
It was weird. I think maybe, you know, there was a full moon a couple days ago, so maybe Alec and I were feeling a certain type of way.
Exactly, man. I saw it. I was on a sunset cruise, and I saw it come up at the same time as the sunset. Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, who wants to kick it off?
Alec, why don't you take it away, man? I know you're pumped up to be talking about your artist just as much as I am.
Yes,
take it away,
brother. I am very, very pumped up. Let me introduce you to the sounds of Sway Low. Man, I tell you what, this is a really unique,
not to be confused with Sway Lee.
No, not Sway Lee. No. This is electronic. Thank you for the clarification there.
Just want to make sure everybody
knows. Yeah, just make sure everyone's in the know there. But still, these sounds, man, it's just going to take you to a far distant place. This is the creative sounds of Sway Low. Let me introduce you this track, Desert Flower. Take a listen. Yeah, what's going on?
Wait, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Because this track took me to a very, very far place, man.
Did
I just want to make sure that you're able to hear me. I was lost on a journey as I was listening to this track, man. This is such a great selection, dude. You know what I love? You sent me a couple of tracks by Sway Low. This guy has a great range to him, man. Tell me more about it.
First of all,
Desert Flower, fantastic pick, but I know he's got some other fantastic tracks as well.
Tell me more. I mean, he's just got such a wide variety, man. I mean, it's all kind of got this tribal type of sound to it, so that's kind of his signature take on things. But he does everything from deep house to, as you can hear in this trap, I mean, this is really such an interesting release. He's only got about 8,000, 9,000 monthly listeners on Spotify, so I mean, he's a young up and coming, artist in the scene. I don't want to see young, actually. I mean, he looks like a young guy, but he's up and coming, shall we say that, a young artist in the scene from the artist's perspective. But it's really interesting, man. I mean, you hear some hi-fi, hip-hop influences in there. It's just, there's so many different influences in there, and he combines it all together to make this just absolutely beautiful melodic trap song. And this is one of the trap songs I mentioned before. He does some deep house, I mean, most recently, and I think it's his biggest one, actually. It's called Mi Amor, and it's amazing, amazing track there. I mean, you talk about just some fantastic tribal deep house, and it's just, I'll put this up in the show notes so people could take a listen, but I cannot say enough about how excited I am to see where Sway Low goes, because I'm big on creativity. Everyone that's listening to this podcast will know that. And this guy checks off all the possible creativity boxes one could possibly have. So shout out to you, man. Hopefully you'll be around, in the US sometime soon. I know that, he's got roots in South Africa, and then also New Mexico as well. I mean, so he's just, I think he's just a creative guy, all in general. And he's got a lot of different backgrounds and experiences to draw upon. So hopefully he can make his way onto some stages over in the US, because I would definitely, hands down, without a doubt, go see him.
Dude, love the passion that you have for your artist this week. And I'm a really, really big fan of this pick. So, dude, thank you so much for introducing us to Sway Low.
Of course.
All right, Alec.
Let's hear it.
Let's take it to Cleveland, Ohio.
Interesting.
What up? What up to our friends out there in Cleveland, Ohio? Guys, EDM champions, if you haven't heard of this guy, let me tell you how to spell his name right now. Did you get a pen and paper? Everybody got a pen and paper? All right, here we go. We got G-A-L-V-A. We're talking about Galva from Cleveland, Ohio. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you why I absolutely love this artist that I'm watching this week. This guy dabbles in everything, man. I feel like he's got some DMB, he's got some trap in him, he's got some chilled out trap. And what I love is that his moods on his tracks, man, they vary so wildly. It was very hard for me to pick a song for you guys to hear on the show Beyond the Beats, but I ended up going with this track, which I'm absolutely loving. It's called Shiva, spelled S-H-I-V-A. This is a very, very creepy track with some kind of, you know, Eastern influences, some Indian influences into it. But you know what, guys? Take a listen for yourself, all right? This track is called Shiva by Galva. Here it is.
Serious track, man. When I heard this, I was just, you know, kind of, as you'd like to say, it's a bit of a head dinger here, man. Yeah. I absolutely love, you know, kind of the Far East type of influence in this as well. It's just such a great vibe to it, and I you know, I love it when artists incorporate different influences and different sounds from potentially, you know, different parts of the world. It's just, there just seems like there's so much going on in here, but it comes off so cleanly too. And I think that's a very hard thing to do, is to incorporate all these different influences and sounds, but yet produce something as clean as this. I mean, man, this is such a great pick.
For me, every time I find an artist that takes risks like this, I mean, this is a guy from Cleveland, Ohio, right? But this artist is taking sounds from India and incorporating that into his tracks. And anytime an artist does that and reaches out across cultures than what they're used to and incorporates that into their tracks, that is going to get automatic brownie points from me. And that's going to make me want to pick that artist more, because they're doing something fun, they're doing something unique, and they're doing something that really embodies what music is all about. And that's really reaching across cultures and trying new things and incorporating new sounds. I mean, his bio says audio destruction, and this guy is not afraid to destroy some audio, to destroy some waves or, you know, MP3s or whatever. When I stumbled across his SoundCloud, I listened to the song Skelter, which is Galva's most recent release that came out about a month ago. Was really digging that track. It was very light, very kind of, you know, a little bit more chilled out on the trap side. But then I listened to Shiva, and then I listened to the song Evolution that Galva also has, which is so dark and so in your face with the trap. And then also heard some DMB from Galva as well, that I had a hard time picking a song. But that was a good problem to have, because Galva's not afraid to get his hands dirty into trying new things. And I love it. This person only has 1,000 followers on SoundCloud. And it's just, it's appalling to me. We need to get our EDM champions following Galva. Go give his tracks a like and a repost. You know, do all that shit. Interact with his stuff. And while you're at it, give a follow to Beyond the Beats as well. Instagram at btb.pod. Twitter at PodBTB. We're also on Facebook. Subscribe, rate, all of it. Dude, let's support each other. Let's support Galva. Let's support Suelo and all the artists that we've mentioned on the show, man. That's what makes this community so great. There, mic drop.
Absolutely. Wow. Great way to end it off, man. And thank you again for introducing us all to Galva. I know this is just, you know, what a great episode. I feel like we covered a lot of ground.
Yeah, man,
here.
I feel
this
good.
This was a good one. I feel really good about this, man. And, you know, just as you said, please give these tracks from the artist that we mentioned, you know, go give it a listen. We'd love to hear you, your thoughts on this. You can email us them if you really want to. If you want to become a business like professional like there, connect at beyondthebeats.co. You can do that if you want to feel, oh, nice, I'm writing an email here, and they're very nice and professional. But you could also DM us if you kind of want to be, you know, just a little bit more low-key, a little bit more basic. You can, maybe not basic in that way. But,
nothing wrong with
no,
that.
No, you can slide into our DMs. It's okay.
we're giving you permission to. It's you can find us at btb.pod. You can also tweet at us, right? Just try to be nice. I mean, we tend to be very nice on Twitter. We're not on it all too much, but we're trying to be, you know, a little bit more active on there. So you can find us at podbtb. Yeah, I think if you could just go give us a subscription if you really want. If you want to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, that'd be fantastic. And a review would really go a long way if you enjoyed the show. You know, helping us spread the word about the show hopefully will allow us to help these artists even more while also helping ourselves out a little bit along the way. So
yeah,
there we
definitely,
are.
Definitely appreciate that.
We definitely appreciate it. My man, we will chat again next week for episode 47. I can't believe it. We're already a few episodes into the new year.
Holy shit. We're so close to 50.
I know. Crazy. Oh, dude. I know. Nuts, isn't it? It's crazy. Nuts? Absolutely nuts.
Good chatting with you, and we'll talk to the EDM champions soon. Peace.